Let's turn to the book of Psalms, if you would. Chapter 63. Psalm chapter 63. Just be reading two verses here, verse 1 and 2. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Title of our message this morning is very simply The Sanctuary. The Sanctuary. I believe this to be a Psalm of David, and I believe the sanctuary that he must be referring to would be the tabernacle of God, where the worship of God, the organized worship of God, took place. The word sanctuary means a sacred place or thing. It means consecrated, dedicated, or hallowed. I believe in calling the place where we assemble as a church at home in Wauseon, I believe in calling it the sanctuary. Some may not refer to it by that. We know it's just a building. We know it's just a room. It's just a structure. But because it is the place where God's church meets and God's people worship God in an organized fashion, I believe it is a very, very special place. I believe it is a sacred place. I believe it is consecrated. I believe it is dedicated. I believe it is hallowed. I believe it is set apart for the worship of God and the gathering together of the saints. It's not a place of play. It's not a place that we rent out. It's not a place that we allow just any kind of activity to take place in. It is the place where Faith Baptist Church assembles. It is the place where God has promised to meet with Faith Baptist Church. I refer to the place where we assemble as the sanctuary. I believe this is the sanctuary of Home Baptist Church. This is where you meet as an assembly of the Lord Jesus Christ to worship Him as one body in Christ. I believe that this place, these four walls, are a sacred, consecrated, dedicated, hallowed place. I know when you have conferences, same at Faith in Wauseon, usually something is said to the effect, if not said, it is expected that in between services, no food, no beverages should be brought into the sanctuary. What is a fellowship hall or a more common area should not be confused with this area, the place where you meet as a body of Christ to worship. You don't like the word sanctuary, then you think of another word. But this is a special place. Amen. The psalmist here talks about his memory of seeing the glory of God in the sanctuary. I want to first of all consider some reflections. I want to draw to your mind reflections upon this place. He said in verse number 2, I long to see thy power, I long to see thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. In the wilderness of Judea, David hungers and he thirsts and he longs for his God and the worship of God. And he reflects upon and he recalls and he remembers the glory of God that he had seen in the sanctuary of God's people. Think about this place. Reflect upon all the glory of God that you have seen in the sanctuary of Home Baptist Church. Oh, as we like to say, if walls could speak, if the history of these four walls, this place, could be revisited, if what has been heard here could be reheard, truly like the psalmist, we would say, oh God, we have seen thy glory. Surely you at Home Baptist Church, reflecting upon this place, can say, oh God, oh, that we might see your glory as we have seen it so often in your sanctuary. I think about the many years that I have come to this place. I can remember coming to this place as a very young boy. I can remember being a teenager and getting in my car and driving myself up to services and being in this place. I can remember, and surely you who are members can recall the glory of God in this place. Think about the great preaching. Think about the great declaring of God's word that has taken place here in this sanctuary. Think about the times that you have seen the glory of God come down upon this place where Home Baptist Church meets. Think about men of God like Eugene Clark, with that draw of his, getting up and preaching the word of God. Think about men like Harry Hilly. Amen. We were blessed to be able to spend about an hour or so visiting the Cynics yesterday, and he was talking about hoping he could come today, and talked about how he may even have to stand up if it was too difficult for him to sit. And I thought to myself, well, if you stood up, I'd just think of you scotching for me. I remembered Brother Harry Hilly saying that frequently. And as I thought that, without a word coming out of my mouth, Brother Cynic said, I'll be scotching for you. To me, that means encouraging, rooting you on, lifting you up. Think of men like Harold Harvey. him so often getting up and standing in this pulpit and inevitably preaching about the amazing sovereign grace of God. Garner Smith getting up, and even more of a, I don't know how many of you are from the South, I guess I could say hillbilly without it getting too beat up. Brother Garner was a country boy. But he could preach and plow the gospel plow, and think of the resounding of his voice as he preached about the glory of the Lord's church, blessedness of the Lord's church. Indeed, as I think of Brother Sinek sitting over here, I have many memories of his standing in this pulpit and preaching at conferences. Brother Gordon, as I was talking yesterday, and you could always rely on Brother Sinek lifting up his Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about the glory of God that has come down in this place. I wasn't allowed to be here. Many of you were here, the first conference. And the effects of the glory of God coming down in this place at that first conference, the effects of God coming down upon those that were gathered here, still being realized and still having its effect today. There were men called to preach in that first conference. There were preachers who got right with God and wept. And there were fellowships that were strengthened. And there were things that took place in that conference and in some of those earlier conferences that still having its ripple effect today because God came down. When I think about conferences, I am happy and thankful when I can come to the conferences of Home Baptist Church because it truly is, and this is not patting you on the back, this is giving God the glory. I have seen God and I have felt God's evidenced presence here more than any conference that I attend that I can think of throughout the course of my life. I have seen God and felt God stir so many times. You who are members, think about all those messages that Don Titus stood up here and told you like it was. Think about the faithfulness of that man to preach the Word of God in season and out of season. The cause, the effect, and the results of his ministry still resound within and upon Home Baptist Church to this day and will for many, many years. Think about your pastor as he has stood before you, Brother Gordon, and faithfully preached the Word of God. Think about the glory of God that he has lifted up before you. Not exalting man, but exalting God. Think about what history could be found in this place. All the memories of this place. That should stir your hearts. Revival services. To think about God's blessings upon this church as you have met in this place should encourage your hearts to keep on keeping on. To recommit yourself, recharge yourself, to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. To keep on contending for the faith that the generations before of Home Baptist Church contended for. To keep looking for the lifting up of God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the days ahead as he has been lifted up and glorified in the past. Oh, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. This is a special place. I believe, and I without apology believe, that where the church of the Lord Jesus Christ assembles is holy ground. Now let's go from reflections and remembrances of the sanctuary to some reminders about the sanctuary. I would first of all remind us that this is a place that should be desired and longed after and longed for. The psalmist, I believe, in his reflections here, longs to see God's glory and longs for the sanctuary, longs for the place where he had seen God's glory in the past. As he's out there in the wilderness, he longs to be able to go back and be where the glory of God had been witnessed so often. The psalmist over in chapter 26, verse 8. Chapter 26, verse number 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Oh God, I love your house. I love your dwelling place. I love the place that is consecrated. I love the place that is hallowed. I love the place that is set apart. I love the place where your people come together and your glory is lifted up and revealed. I love the place where you come down and meet with your people. And this is not the only place. You see through the Psalms several references to the psalmist's love for God's house. You have prayed, I think, every night. And request has been made, I believe, every night concerning those who would give anything to be able to be here in these services. But they can't because of sickness or recovery or age. Is that desire that you have prayed for and that has been lifted up for prayer, is that desire in every one of our hearts this morning? Can you say, Lord, I love the habitation of your house. Lord, the services are over. Do we have to go home? Lord, when's the next time we can come into your house? When's the next time we can sing the great hymns of the faith? When's the next time God's word can be lifted up and Christ can be preeminent in our thoughts? When's the next time? Do you have that love? You've been put to the test this week. You've had a little bit out of the ordinary schedule. You had to come to church on Wednesday night, and then you had to come back Thursday night, and you had to come back Friday night, and you had to come back last night, and you got home from last night, and you had to turn around and come back today. Was that a bother? Or was your heart thrilled? Do you love the habitation of God's house? This is a special place, folks. This is where God meets in a special way with His church. We love to say, God is everywhere, but He's here in a special way when His people meet. Do you love that? I wonder if there's any who could have, but didn't come to a single of the weekly services. I wonder how many who would almost punch you in the eye if you were to question their love for the Lord and love for the Lord's church, who's not here today but could be. something wrong. Hebrews 10:25. I rarely go to Hebrews 10:25 without thinking of my uncle. I've heard him preach from Hebrews 10:25 I don't know how many times during the course of his ministry in my life. I've seen him and I've heard him take criticism at conferences for preaching on that and his stands and convictions on that. We are accused as preachers of Hebrews 10:25 being our favorite passage. Well, I don't preach from Hebrews 10:25 every Sunday. It's not the only thing I preach. In fact, it's rare that is what the Lord lays upon my heart. But you know, Hebrews 10:25 teaches a great truth. Our assembling together is expected. Our assembling together is commanded by God. Our assembling together is a great privilege, and our failure to assemble together, I believe Hebrews 10 teaches us, is willful sin for which there remains no covering. Willfully laying out of God's house, not going to God's house and loving to go to God's house when we are fully able to, willfully laying out means there is no covering for the consequence of that act. There will be consequence. I believe the problem must be there is no fear of God before many people's eyes when they lay out of church willfully, deliberately, don't go when they could go. There's no fear. God's not going to do anything to me. Staying out of church ain't that big of a deal. Staying out of church isn't going to affect anybody but me. You just don't know what the consequences are going to be in your life. What God is going to require, what God is going to do. You just do not know the costs God may require. Don't trot underfoot the precious blood of Christ by being negligent to God's house. Because God's house is blood purchased. Willingly staying out of God's house and not desiring to be in God's house is, I believe, trotting underfoot the blood of Christ. It's counting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as nothing. This place, I would remind you, is a place of relief from the wilderness. The Psalm of David that we have used for our text is written when it is said that he is in the wilderness of Judea, far from home, far from the comforts of home, far from the tabernacle, far from the worship of God, in a wilderness, dry place. Oh, that we might be reminded that this place, this sanctuary, is a sanctuary away from the world. We can come away from the world and find relief and find comfort and find help and find fellowship and find love and find relationship and find someone who cares for us. Amen. And we can do something here that we know is eternal in consequence. We can do something here that we know is pleasing and acceptable to God. Yes, commanded, but let's put command aside. Let's think about love and how we can best demonstrate we love the Lord by coming to this place. And we can come to this place and know what we're doing is acceptable to Him. No question about it. God is a God who desires true worshipers to worship Him. And now is the hour for true worshipers to worship Him. Not in Jerusalem, not in Samaria, but in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, New Testament Baptist churches. This is the hour when He desires true worship. And we do that. What are you going to find in the world? You're going to find a wilderness. Those who long after and desire to be out there more than they long and desire to be in here. Again, I try not to judge, but I question whether or not they really have a relationship with God. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. If you love mammon, if you love the world, you can't love God. What does the world have out there for you? Nothing. If that's where your longing is, if that's where your hungering is, if you take greater pleasure in being out there than being in here, you may need to be born again. I have been taught and I have been raised to be faithful to God's house. That was instilled within me as a child. When I thought I was old enough to go out and get a job, one of the first things out of my dad's mouth is, "You can go get you a job. You can work over there at Jack in the Box, but you're going to be in church on Wednesday and you're going to be in church in both services on Sunday. No exception." And I told the manager, no problem, he hired me, and it was within weeks that he scheduled me to work Wednesday night. And I had to go tell Dad. And I think to teach me responsibility and work ethic, he says, "Okay, you go ahead and work, you're scheduled. But you tell the manager you're going to have to quit your job." That's what he expected me to do. And I did it. Amen. I didn't lose my job. Right. But I didn't have to work any Wednesdays or Sundays anymore. Amen. That was instilled within me, but you know, that's not why going to church is such a joy to me today. I love the Lord's house. Amen. I love the church of Jesus Christ. It's not practice. It's not habitual. Being a church member is the greatest privilege granted God's people this side of eternity. I don't want to be anywhere else on Sunday. I don't want to be anywhere else on Wednesday night. I don't want to be anywhere else on the night revival's taking place. I don't want to miss being in this place, because coming to God's house is just a place of relief and blessing. It's like an oasis in a wilderness. This is a place of order. This is not a place of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. As the psalmist thought about the sanctuary, if you study anything about the tabernacle and the worship of the tabernacle, or the worship of God in the Old Testament, you're going to find God has always been a God of order. God has had very specific orders. Over in chapter 68 of the Psalms, verse 24, "They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing the timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregation, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel." As they talk about the goings of God, he's talking about the order of the going to the worship of God. God's always been a God of order. The world hates our worship. The world is bored out of their mind to come into the services of a true New Testament Baptist church. Those that come to a true New Testament Baptist church looking to get excited, looking to get entertained, looking for something new, and they don't find it. Many times they can't even set through the service without making their exit. But folks, we worship God the way we do because God is a God of order. We sing songs and we pray and God's word is preached and we follow an order in our services because God demands that in worship. And this order should thrill our hearts, not bore us. This is a place of reverence and respect and awe. Watch your foot. Watch your mouth. Watch your mind. Behave yourself when you go into the house of the Lord. It's a special place. We conduct ourselves in a special way. As we sit in the services of the Lord, we should sit respectfully. We should teach our children to sit respectfully, to respect the house of God, to have reverence for the place where God's people meet. The place where God's people meet is not supposed to be a circus. It's not to be a place of game playing. And children can have that instilled within them from the earliest of ages. It's a place of truly God's glory. Psalms 96. Psalms 96, verse 6. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Folks, this is a place where God's glory is experienced. God's glory comes down. But this is a place where God should be glorified. If we meet in our Baptist churches and God is not lifted up and exalted, we've wasted our time. Amen. Ephesians 3:21 tells us, unto God be glory in the church. God is to get the glory. This morning, as we thought about the subject of grace, it is God's grace. And don't ever think of grace separate and apart from God. A lot of times grace is kind of thought of as it's separate, kind of an entity. People talk about grace and never even get to talking about God. It's grace because it comes from God. It's grace because it's his favor. And let us never meet and fail to give God glory in our coming together. Let Home Baptist Church be diligent for all the days of her existence before you, to make sure this is a place where God is glorified. I believe that this is a place where you're going to find the clearest views of Jesus Christ. In our text, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power, to see thy glory. O God, I long to see. When you come to the house of the Lord, you should long to see Jesus Christ. Look to the book of Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him were all, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. He's the head of this church. God has purposed that in this place, Christ have the preeminence. This is the place where our songs reveal Christ. Our prayers are offered up before the throne of grace because Christ has broken down the wall that separated us from God. Christ is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, and our prayers are offered up in the name of Jesus Christ. When the word of God is preached, we're going to see Jesus Christ, because the word recorded is Christ incarnate, Christ revealed. You look through the pages of God's written word, you're going to find views and visions of Jesus Christ. Think about this place. The sanctuary of the Lord, that consecrated, hallowed, special place where Home Baptist Church meets. And think about the glory of God that has been experienced here. Go back in time and just take pleasure in thinking about the hand of God upon this place. What has happened here in this place? And I'll give thanks. And be challenged to be true to this place. To do everything in your power as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ to maintain this a place the glory of God might continue to come down and be seen. All desire and love and long for this place. Measure your spirituality. Measure your relationship to the Lord by the longing and desires you have for this place. I believe that is 100% biblical. When your relationship with God isn't right, look, and you're going to find it affects your longing and desire to be here. And when you long and are consumed with a desire to be here, I believe that's going to reflect a very close walk with God. Love this place. Desire to be in this place. See this place as a relief from the wilderness of this world in which we live. See this place as a place of order, conducting ourselves for the honor and glory of the Lord. See this place as a place of reverence and respect and behavior fitting of this place. See this as a place where God's glory can be seen and God should be glorified. Think of this as a place where you see your best views of Jesus Christ. Brother Gordon drove us past on the highway. Great, big, huge picture of what man thinks Jesus Christ looks like. I believe it was out in front of a Baptist church. What a shame. That's not what our Lord looked like. The best views of Jesus Christ are going to be seen right here in this place. As he's preached, as he's taught, as he's sung praise to, as he's prayed through. This is a place you're going to see Jesus Christ. God help us to look and examine ourselves and our relationship to this place. And if there's anything in our life, anything in our hearts that affects our love for this place, all that God's people would get that right. If you're here and you're lost, it's quite possibly that you're thinking, I can't wait to get out of this place. That's because you're lost. May God help you right now to come aside from that longing to get out of this place. May God draw you aside through His Spirit, not to see this as a place to be endured. May right now you see that this is a place where Christ is lifted up, crucified for sinners, shedding His blood, dying and giving His life for sinners. Oh, lost friend, put aside your desire to get out of here and think about your standing before God, and think about the fact that this church lifts up before you Jesus. If you will repent of your sins and trust in this Jesus that Home Baptist Church and this pastor lifts up, you can leave here in love with Jesus Christ. You can leave here knowing He loves you, and you can leave here forgiven. Come to Christ. May God bless His word.